the book Hebrews, part 251. I'm Professor Hannes Redelhuis of the First Assembly of Yahushua in South Africa, Pretoria, Montana, also international. Should you require any of my books which I've written, especially the book Israel's Rapture, which is so relevant in the times that we are living in today, you can contact me at my WhatsApp number. It's a plus 27 international code for South Africa, 0722-367-124, or just go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za. If this is the first time that you are about to participate in the study, you are so very, very welcome. Just go to part one. Start from the beginning because you've missed out on quite a bit of information. It's also very important in order to subscribe to the channel to receive the different notifications of all the other studies and TikTok messages that we are currently busy with. Please send this link to your friends and family, those who matter to you. Make sure you at least have a 1611 King James Bible or the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, a pen and a notepad ready. Welcome to Breakfast with Prof. Hannes. Hallelujah. What a privilege to be able to participate in a study like this. Not because I'm presenting it or has done the research and the preparation. No. Because of the Ruach HaKodesh. And also the resurrection power of Yahweh Almighty in the life of Yahushua and the redemption blood of Yahushua. It all together makes one massive box of dynamite power. And dynamite, they use it in mines when they are mining gold. They create these tunnels. I worked underground as an artisan when I was a youngster for 2 or 3 years. They blow out these tunnels and they follow the vein, the gold vein, to get it out. South Africa is very, very popular. It's got some of the richest gold veins in the world. And the deeper you go, the more valuable percentage-wise is the gold. So, this dynamite, how do they open, they drill holes, and then they stick it full of dynamite, and then everybody goes out of the mine, and they detonate it. Then they leave it for a time, for the dust to settle, then the next ship will go in, and clear all that stones out. And this is what it is. With Yahweh, Yahushua, and the Ruach, we have a combination that can blow the work of Satan to pieces. Hallelujah. Well, actually, Yahushua has done it on Calvary's Hill 2,000 years ago already. Now, we're entering into a part of the study which you need to tighten your seatbelt. Because there's information that's going to come through here that you have never heard in your life. Believe you me. Somebody once said when I was teaching about this, where do I get the audacity to say things which is in the Bible is not really of the Bible? I said, well, this is where Yahweh has given us the discernment of the Ruach HaKodesh. And this is where the Ruach HaKodesh comes, where we read a scripture and also read between the lines, and we can experience with the anointing of the Ruach HaKodesh that this cannot be true. Not only that, it's when we start comparing X with X, comparing scriptures with scriptures. Not once in the whole of the Bible has the Bible ever contradict itself. So when we find certain scriptures where we put them together next to each other, and it seems like one is contradicting the other, we need then to start to do research work and Bible study to find out which one of these two is contradicting the, or seems like it's contradicting the other one. And in doing that, well, at least we don't depend upon ourselves. We depend upon the Ruach HaKodesh. And in doing so, Father Yafa, through the blood of Yahushua and the workings of the Ruach HaKodesh, will just open the Word and also our cardinal minds to understand what the Scripture is saying. We will find that a lot of times through Bible translations and Bible reviewing, I don't like reviewings of Bibles. That is where the danger is. Because when they do a review on a Bible, it's normally 300, 400 years later after the Bible was printed from the original text, And then a certain group of people will come and make alterations to the Bible, saying that that which has happened there is no more relevant in the time that we are living in. But as we continue this study, I want you to bear this in mind, because I'm going to refer to it from time to time. And then you will remember what I've said this morning. Now we're going to start by reading Hebrews 11 verse 4. Hebrews 11 verse 4. And you must please allow me not to be hastened, but that we, with confidence and steadiness, that we break the word into small pieces, into letters, not even into verses, but into letters, to understand the value of every word which is written. He says, Apostle Paul says, by faith. By what? By faith. Abel offer unto Yahweh Almighty a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. When Cain and Abel, when they sacrificed an offering unto Yahweh Almighty, did they had a prescription like the laws of Moses or the New Testament or any direction whereby they would have known what they had to offer? The answer is no. Cain and Abel, or Abel and Cain, offered what they felt in their spirit. They felt within them. Now we already know that Abel was the product or the son of Adam, where Cain was not the son of Adam. He was the son of the serpent who beguiled Eve in the Garden of Eden. We already dealt with that. But if you have a question, you can contact me and I will assist with gladly. By faith, Abel, that's the second son. Well, they were twins. First Cain and then Abel. So Abel is the slightly younger one than Cain, the elder brother. A couple of hours or minutes, because first Cain was born and then after it Abel. By faith Abel offered unto Yahweh Almighty a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Now why would Father Yahweh Almighty testify to this fact and accept his gift as an offer, or his offer as a gift, and not that of Cain? There was no set of rules. There didn't even exist a set of rules by which they had a high priest or anybody or any church or denomination or anybody that could say, this is what Yahweh wants. They function on what they felt in their soul's dimension through the Ruach HaKodesh. Yeah, but they never spoke in tongues. So how can Prof, how can you say they had the Ruach HaKodesh? Well, what is the Ruach HaKodesh? The Ruach HaKodesh is the breath of Yahweh. Genesis 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning the earth was void, and waters was upon waters, and the spirit of Yahweh, because Yahweh is spirit, his Ruach, dwelt upon the waters. And then in Genesis, and then we find Genesis 1 right through, everything was made. Yahweh spoke everything into existence. He didn't use his hands for nothing. Even spoke people. Genesis 1, 26, 29. When he says to, Yahweh said to the Son, Yahweh Shua, come let us make men in our image. In their image he made them. Man and woman. It's not Adam and Eve. Man and woman. And he said to them, multiply, be fruitful, and fill the earth. But in Genesis 2, verse 8, he planted a garden and he used his hand. And from the soil of the earth, the mud of the earth, the soil, he created a man, Adam, with his hands. And when he was finished, he blew in his nostrils, the breath of life. What is Yahweh? His breath. What is it? Other than the Ruach HaKodesh, other than that float or moved upon the water in Genesis 1:1. And that's why the Bible says when we worship Yahweh Almighty, we must worship Him in spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, and in truth, because He is spirit, Ruach. So what did the Father do? He blew in Adam's nose the Ruach HaKodesh, and he became an everlasting, an ever-living soul. The Genesis 1 people didn't have the ever-living soul. If they died, they were dead. But Adam were different. He blew in his nostrils the breath of life, the Ruach HaKodesh. So what did Abel had? Abel had the Ruach HaKodesh, the breath of Yahweh in him. Because every one that was coming from the bloodline of Adam had the Ruach HaKodesh in them, whether they were man or woman. The Bible says the Ruach HaKodesh that converts us of sins and unrighteousness. So what spoke to Canaan? The Ruach HaKodesh that was in him. Why didn't Cain brought blood Abel brought a blood sacrifice. He brought a lamb, blood. And that's the first sacrificial offering according to Moses' laws, the 613 laws, which had no effect on this stage in the life of Genesis. Nothing whatsoever. So Cain, being the son of the serpent, didn't have the Ruach HaKodesh. He functioned on instinct. And Satan used the serpent. It wasn't a snake, it was a serpent. A straight, right up being with hands and a mouth and an intellect and everything. He used him to do his dirty work. And through using the serpent as a medium, actually Cain was Satan's son, so to speak. And what does Satan more want to do than kill the bloodline? Kill the offsprings of the bloodline of, well, I want to say, Yaffa, through Adam, the Ruach HaKodesh. And that's what was Satan's purpose all his life, is to kill the bloodline of Yahshua. Now what we're going to do, I'm not finished. I'm going to continue tomorrow morning. But let's do today what our hand finds to do. And let's be the best of first possible for the glory and the kingdom of Yahshua. Till tomorrow morning, His Father's will. Maranatha. Yahshua is coming back again. Hallelujah.